Hi, and welcome to the Handbag Designer 101 podcast with your host, Emily Blumenthal, handbag designer expert and handbag fairy godmother, where we cover everything about handbags from making, marketing, designing, and talking to handbag designers and industry experts about what it takes to make a successful handbag. Welcome to the Handbag Designer 101 podcast. We have Doris Izquierdo from Doispe. Am I pronouncing it correctly?
Yes, Doispe.
Doispe. Plus, you have the coolest accent. What is your accent? It's all over the place, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. It's like a mix of different things. And of course, Mexican. And if I get upset, it just comes more.
You can hear it more in Mexican. But you have like an Irish inflection or something. Like, where's your English? It's not American. That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Well, I studied British English and then I lived in Australia.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's what I meant, because I love listening to you speak, because it's always like, oh, boy, this isn't the standard, you know, girl from Mexico living in the U.S. It's like she's definitely been around.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure. Yeah.
Oh, my God. So let's go back to the beginning. So you are originally from Mexico. Yeah. You were born.
Yeah. Born and raised there. My family's there. Yeah.
So how did you fall into this world of handbags? Because we can get into, you know, your brand and what it means and the whole eco vision, because you've been doing this for a super long time.
Yeah. Well, I got into the handbags basically because I wanted to study fashion. With the Mexican culture, it was kind of like my parents didn't want me to go abroad and live by myself when I was 18 years old. It was like, no, how are you so young? You know, it's like completely different than how it's in the US. And so they didn't let me study fashion. So they convinced me to study industrial design. So I did industrial design, which was great. I don't regret it. I'm actually very grateful I did it that way. So, but when I was doing industrial design in Australia, my sister asked me like, hey,
do you wait a second? So your parents wouldn't let you leave to study fashion, but they would let you leave to go all the way to Australia to study industrial design?
No, but that, no, because I started in Mexico City and I studied industrial design. And then I just wanted to really steal. I really wanted to go abroad. And there was just this thing that I always wanted to do since I was like maybe, I don't know, 15 years old. Like, I would love to stay up until late watching these independent movies. Channel that it was called Canal 11 in Mexico City. And they will like have these independent films, and there were like films about fashion, and like, you know, fashion TV also was.
Fashion TV was a vibe. It was everything. Right. Oh my God. I remember that.
Right. Yeah.
With Elsa Clench from, it was Canadian, and say, welcome to Fashion TV with Elsa Clench. And you would just watch the shows and you're like, oh God, to be part of that. Cause that predated everything, having access to Fashion Week, influencers, all that. It was like industry and that was it.
Right. So I loved watching that. And I always kept dreaming about that world, of course, like abroad, not in Mexico, and just kind of having as well the challenge of being with people from like different cultures and not in my first language. And just, you know, kind of like that whole adventure. And fashion as well.
Right.
Anyway, so I started industrial design. I studied industrial design. And then I always wanted to go somewhere else. And then as soon as I had the opportunity, my parents told me, well, you know, my idea was that I was going to go to Italy. And then so my dad told me, like, if you want to go to Italy, stay one more semester. And then you go and you stay in Italy, no? But then the opportunity to Australia came. And I was like, no, I really want to go now.
How did Australia happen? That's so random, no?
Yeah, because that was like kind of like an opportunity that I got through my uni, the uni where I started in Mexico. So I was like thinking, okay, well, I don't know. I just really wanted to go away.
Yeah.
And I loved that idea that it was like so far away. And I also thought, you know what? I always been somehow the same way of like doing things differently, like how all the people do.
Wait, what number child are you?
Second, I'm the baby one.
Ah, there's two of you.
Yeah.
And you have an older sister?
Yeah.
Who colors in the lines, does everything the right way, follows the rules, is the reliable one. Is she still there?
Yeah, well, she's now in Mexico City. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that all tracks. Okay, so that makes sense. All right, so they already had a daughter who was doing the right thing. So you were doing the right thing, but like, I need to get the hell out of here.
I wanted to explore, you know, I don't know. There was,
yes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So then I think my mom told me like, but if you go there, you know, you're going to be so far away and something happens. And then the more than she would describe how far away was Australia, the more that I was like, yes, I need to go. And then also start thinking, you know what? Everyone in the design world looks at Europe as you have to go there. Like, right. That's the only way, or that's the only thing happening.
Right.
And, I mean, yeah, historically, like by culture and everything, yes, like in Europe, there's a lot of things that started there. But at the same time, I felt like, yeah, but there's also other countries that for sure have really cool things happening.
Right.
Like, you know, like right now, for example, Mexico City is super trendy.
Yes.
But we had like...
And you're not there.
And yeah, but like there's this thing about like, oh, like kind of Mexico City's just not having these great things. But
yeah, yeah.
We always have these great things. We
don't even know about it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So that's the same way that I was feeling at that time. I mean, I was kind of like feeling like Mexico was kind of like left out, even though like I knew that we had a lot of great things. And like, for example, like in this case, Australia, I was like, you know, no one really talks about it. So I'm just going to go and do like the different thing that everyone goes to Europe. I'm just going to go to Australia. So that's why I went to Australia.
Were you at where? Melbourne, Sydney?
Melbourne.
Ah, oh, you know, it's so interesting because my friends who are from Melbourne always refer to Sydney as Sid Vegas, you know, because it's so much more like LA and Melbourne is so much more of a European vibe. I love, 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 love Melbourne. It's like you don't even know where you are because it's such a cross-section of so much.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
How long were you there?
Well, like I say this for a part of my uni. So
2 years?
Yeah, something like that. And then
wow.
I kind of like have a little bit of like blurry memory during that time because my dad passed away after.
So
I like block a lot of like period of my life. Yeah, so that's when people ask, I was like, well, what happened?
No, my husband, his dad passed when he was really young. And like you ask him about anything and there's a blank space. Like, I don't know. I can't tell you. Ask someone else. Yeah, trauma will do that to you. Did you go home right after that? Did that change everything for you?
Yeah, yeah, that definitely did. Yeah, for sure. That's why like I have like blurry things. I mean, that's also why I decided to get back to Mexico and stay in Mexico. And yeah, when I grew up, I always had these thing about Mexico was the first thing because that's how my parents told me. And the best thing after Mexico was actually Germany.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So like I always had, that's something that for sure I was have been wanted to show in my brand and like how the beauty of Mexico in different ways.
Right.
So when I was in Australia and my sister asked me, so when you graduated, do you want to like start a business or something? What about, like, think about something. And that's where I thought like, oh, at that time in Australia, there was nothing about, nothing Mexican.
Right.
And I will always get really good compliments of free things just for like showing that my Mexican passport at the club or things like that.
Wow.
So start like, you know, of course, valuing more Mexico and everything. So it's like, okay, great. What about a handbags with a Mexican handcraft? So that like made by native Mexicans, you know, like otomis or huicholes or, you know, these different types of ethnic groups. And but that time was also kind of like, now it's also trendy. But at that time, it was kind of like seeing like, why are you seeing that? Like, it's kind of like, I don't know. It was not like thing to do.
Right.
But I wanted to show that, like, I wanted to have like, okay, yeah, fashion is great, but what else about the world and what else about, you know, creating something that is fair trade and it's like you being respectful for the work from these people, especially with these ethnic groups that people usually try to get things for cheaper, no?
This is so interesting because you, without even knowing it, were developing the DNA of your brand. Right? The core values, the core competencies, what important key points And I doubt without you having left Mexico, you would have been able to identify, and the trauma you even went through, I doubt you would have been able to identify what makes your brand special, because these are values that have now become special to you that you didn't recognize before.
Right, exactly. And I somehow didn't know exactly where they were coming from. And through the time, I started realizing like, yo, especially like, for example, now I just became a US citizen, like literally last week.
Oh, wow.
Like I was talking with someone, I was like, you know, I never ever had in my bucket list the US. Like I never had this idea of coming here, but life brought me here, which I'm grateful about it and everything that this country has gave me. But at the same time, I started thinking like how it was for me and why I never really had this idea, like comparing like how it usually is in Mexico, for example, like if people will come here for like shopping or things like that. But in my family, like my dad used to say like, no, we ain't gonna buy and support Mexico and made in Mexico because we need to be proud about being Mexicans. Whenever we will like kind of as well buy something that it was not from made in Mexico, it was like European, no?
Right.
Paris, Mexico. Like I never came to Disney because my dad would be like, no, we're not gonna go to Disney.
Right.
Like all these things. And
did you ever make it to Disney?
I haven't yet.
One day. Oh my God.
So then I started realizing I always have this thing unconsciously, like working for the people. And like my mom was always like, kind of like very involved with the community as well and helping everyone. And she also at some point, same thing, was in a party for like becoming a senator, but like a party that represents the people, things like that. My dad, like when he was also like young, he was involved in something called like 68, which is like a movement that happening before the Olympics in Mexico and 68. That started actually in France and kind of like went all the way to Mexico. It was the same thing to kind of like for the people, like if you just resuming that way, you know?
Right.
Just not going too deep into history or
politics. No. This is why this is important because, you know, handbags, I'm sure you've heard being a designer on your own and now obviously also working for another brand, you know, you hear over and over that it's very niche, right? It's very specific. But the reality is, which is so interesting, everybody everywhere needs, uses, wants, covets, lives with for a handbag. It's an integral part of who we are as a culture, as a people, going way back to the 1300s, it dates back. So, you know, it's part of who we are as women. It's an extension of who we are. And I think it's really authentic in terms of how all this goes into your journey of becoming a handbag designer. Because at this point, you're back in Mexico and now you're trained as an industrial designer. Then what?
Right. And I feel like that's also the interesting part of generally about fashion. Like people tend to think, oh, you know, fashion is just doesn't really have to do anything with me. And I don't like fashion or like fashion don't represent me. But at the end, when you think about it, if you go deep about someone's look, no, and I'm not telling you like an influencer, I'm just like anyone on the street. And you ask them about why they got that shirt, why they're wearing that necklace, why they're wearing that. And then it brings something about their childhood, their family, what they want to be or what they used to be, or, you know, at the end, what it is. Like, again, like you were saying, like a extension of ourselves. So,
Yeah.
And that's the coolest part, I think, about fashion that people sometimes don't really realize, no?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like, for me, it was like that. I didn't notice that how strong it was. I mean, how my parents put that so much into my head of being super proud of being Mexican and showing made in Mexico and all that stuff. And like through the time I've been realizing more like, oh yeah, like now I get it. Yeah, like that's so true. And then like my brand started like that. I kind of wanted to show what like indigenous people were making with like, you know, through handbags, and it kind of kept evolving. And from that to like being socially responsible to like also, there were not many options for eco-friendly materials at that time. And then like, you know, when there's these other options available, evolve as well, for sure, to that, because that's an old saying that I feel very proud to say that as well. My parents always taught me of being very responsible with that, with the environment.
No waste.
Right.
If you think of your parents or even your grandparents, they would never throw anything out. Like whatever you eat, down to the scraps, the crumbs, the bones, it was repurposed for something.
Right.
So I think the closer you get back to where people were as immigrants or socioeconomically, it's absolutely, we're not wasting anything. Absolutely, there's a purpose. I mean, I remember going to a restaurant with my grandma and the salt and pepper she would take home, you know, like whatever they gave, she would take home. She was like, absolutely not. We're not wasting that. Like I paid for this meal. So whatever they're giving us, I'm bringing home. And as a child, you're mortified. You're like, we don't need to take that. Like it can stay there. It's like, no. I will find a use for it somewhere. Like, don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's values like that that become ingrained in you one way or another, especially for developing a brand. So how did you end up with this construct of a handbag while you were trained for theoretically something else?
Well, just like that, like when my sister asked me, think about something that you would like to create, I thought first shoes, but then I realized like, no, you know, shoes are more complicated because you have sizes. And I have somehow an idea about footwear, but not really. So I thought from my experience as an industrial designer, or the knowledge that you get as an industrial designer, in handbags were easier. And I feel like I have some projects, and at school, some of the projects I will make handbags.
Right.
Like and then we had a wood workshop, and you know, we were supposed to create something with like a very thin and flexible type of wood. And right. I made a bag. I was like, oh, this is a perfect for a handbag.
Oh my God, that's amazing. And like knocking out handles and flap and all of that.
Right.
And that's a very, very structured crossbody.
Yeah. And now that I'm thinking, like, I don't even know why. I somehow, that was my way of bringing industrial design to fashion, no? In another workshop, I remember that we were doing like PVC, like colorful PVC.
Yeah.
And I had to make a handbag, and I will go out with the handbag. And, you know, I actually was wearing these bags, and I still have them at home, by the way.
But I have them here, but I have them in Mexico, but I still have them. Yeah. So at this point, you created this handbag. How did you say, okay, I think I'm going to move forward with this? Like, how did you go from the idea from having one bag to making more? How did you find the indigenous people to go speak to and source your materials and so forth?
Well, finding the indigenous people was somehow easy, but also difficult, because, I mean, you can't like know where you can go in the city to find them. But then their life is somehow very unstable.
Right.
Like you cannot really know that, like, okay, you here today on a Tuesday. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to see you next Tuesday here. So what I would do first was just like, I was just buying from them whatever they had. And then I was trying to figure out the same thing of, okay, if I get a big order, how can I actually make more of these? Is
right.
this person going to be, you know, moving around? And also the economy of these people are like very, same thing, like unstable.
Right.
So you can ask them for like, hey, can you make like 15 pieces to just send them out for next Tuesday? And they will be like, oh, yes. And then next Tuesday comes and they will be like, oh, you know, I had to actually sell 25 of them because I needed to get some money for food.
Right. Right.
And you can understand that, but it's just like a different type of like system that cannot go with, say, like the regular production process, no? So it has more like kind of like it got more to like a unique type of piece, or like just one of a kind, of like limited edition and that kind.
That's so difficult to do, pricing. Yeah. And then also to develop a brand. I mean, whenever I work with designers and they say they're limited edition, one of a kind, I'm like, oh, don't say that. You're too new to say that, because it's always a sign, like, you know, to someone who doesn't know any better, it's okay. But to people like us, it's like, oh, you haven't figured out production. You're paying too much for materials. You're probably charging the customer too much.
Right.
So that's always a hurdle, I think. It's a rite of passage, actually, for most designers to go through.
Yes, so that was very challenging for sure. And then also trying to find a place with like a factory where I could get really good quality. It was also very challenging.
I know. I mean, I'm sure it doesn't take a lot for you to reflect of like, did you carry your materials around in a bag or in a suitcase? Like, were you pulling them, like getting out the gravel road, knocking on the door like, hi, here's my sample. This is what I can do. Can you do this? Oh, I need to talk to your boss. Sure. You know, over and over and over and like, yeah, sure. And then you get a sample and then, or you don't get your sample or they forget.
Right.
They're not open.
Forget. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You go, they're like, oh, we didn't know. Or, oh, we had too many, you know, when you're new and don't have any real orders.
Right.
They're going to be like, oh, we didn't do it yet. And you're like, I need this today.
Right, right, right. Oh, they would give me things with tons of glue.
Yeah.
And so the way that I started going to Toluca, which is like an hour from Mexico City. So I would drive there because there is no, like, for shoes, no? So I had this friend who used to make her shoes there. So she introduced me to this guy. So that's how I started like asking people, do you know anyone who actually makes the bags? So I met with this guy and he's the one who started making bags with me. But like you saying, like I would show up and he would be like, oh, I forgot.
Yeah.
Or like everything was like tons of glue or like the construction was pretty bad. But at the time I thought, oh yeah, it looks good.
It's good enough.
Because yeah. I was also learning as well.
Right.
Of like, you don't use this type of foam or you don't use like the lining.
Yep.
And then I went from there to my cousin introduced me to this other person in León, Guanajuato, which is a state 4 hours north from Mexico City that is known for shoes. So,
and when did you start driving back and forth?
No, I have family. They live there. So I would go and stay with them for like a week. And I would like go every day to look for like tanneries or factories. And,
wow.
You know, like kind of like the little garment district that they would have for like hardware and
right.
Things like that. So, yeah. So I started doing some samples there. And one of them was like pretty good. Then the other one, the one who actually my cousin introduced me to. I mean, I'm 37 now and people say I look very young. And that time I was like 24. And so
right. Oh, my God.
And I really think that that didn't help.
Right. Yeah. Because then no one takes you seriously. Like, who's this child showing up being like, hi.
Yes.
Hi.
Yeah. And a woman in the
culture, you know,
this girl, she's like maybe 16 and like, you know,
yeah.
You know anything. So I will like same thing and start like doing some samples. At this time, my mom was the one who was supporting all my sampling.
Right. Oh, God.
And so I will like as well try to be very conscious about it. Because, for example, I would go to the tanneries and I will see like tons of really cool leather.
Right.
And then I would be like wondering, okay, so what happens with this leather? And they would be like, yeah, this leather comes from Italy, like from all over the world.
Right.
And they were really cool leathers. But I always kept thinking, where is this going?
Right.
You know? Yeah. I mean, this is kind of like the end of the road for each piece here, no? Because it's made in Italy, for sure. It was sent to some brand, possibly here, like, of course, in Mexico or like maybe somewhere else. And then somehow I end up in this little shop.
Right. So you're already thinking like product life cycle in terms of what then with this product impact it has.
Right. So then I would think like, oh, maybe I can keep some bags with these really cool leather, but maybe I can just make 5 of them. And then going back to the same thing with the indigenous people. Okay, when then what? I'm going to say this is limited. This is a limited edition. Like,
right.
It's actually not sustainable for a business plan. So, but I was just very worried about the whole way.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, so then, yeah, so started like making flat samples there. And the first samples actually didn't come out very well because I was also using like laser cut. I knew how I wanted, but I didn't know how was the process to get it exactly how I wanted.
Yeah.
So I would like sit down with these people and go style by style with them and be like,
oh, God,
these are going to be the corrections.
Right.
I remember I would stay with this guy for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I would go back to Mexico and I would come back. I remember I asked this time for 10 pieces of each style, which was not a lot, but, you know, still like 10 pieces. I go back and everything it wasn't well done. Like if I never get
directions,
like kind of like the same as the first sample. So everything completely bad and that disaster.
Right.
That's when I started realizing like these people are not really taking me serious.
Well, it wasn't then they weren't taking you seriously or they just weren't trained to do it the right way. Because it kind of sometimes is a combination of both.
Yeah, it was a combination of both. Because, yeah, definitely. Because I also would ask them, hey, I want to use the best leather and the best hardware.
Right.
It's about showing made in Mexico is really well made. Like, yes, shoes are known for that. But like, let's do handbags as well.
Right.
You know? The same thing. And when they will give me the bags and they will like tell me like, yeah, this is the best leather, this is the best hardware, I will be like, there's no way this could be the best hardware.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, a hardware that you like the cheapest hardware.
Right. It's not hard to figure that out. You're like,
right. Yes, exactly. So then I stopped working with them. And I also started like learning how to make myself respected. I was like, okay, well, I pay them and then they're just going to like, I'm just going to let them kind of like do whatever.
Right.
Like, no, I need to learn as well to tell them like, okay, this is what you're giving me, but you know, we went through corrections. Are you not really like,
right,
messing with it?
Yeah.
And then I'm not going to pay you the whole amount. Like, you need to take responsibility for what you're doing,
Right.
So, you know, this game as well of like learning, not just making the bags, not just designing, not just finishing, not just quality, not just hardware, but also dealing with the factory about this conversation of job well, or I'm not going to pay you because you need to respect as well. And I'm trusting you.
I had one manufacturer I was working with in the city and I would go there on my lunch breaks. And I found a trade show to go to in London.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be at the airport at 8 o'clock. And I went by every single day saying, where are the samples? Where are the samples? I need the samples. He hadn't even started. And I had the ticket. Like the whole thing that morning, I think it was like a Thursday, I was supposed to go to work. And I went there when he opened and he hadn't even started. And he was like, well, you know, I called in sick. I pulled up a chair. I sat by his door and I said, you have to do this right now. You have my money. You have my samples. You have my leathers. You have everything. These need to be done today. And I think I was there from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, sitting in that same damn chair. My mom picked me up. Like I had her go to my apartment to collect my stuff. And I had no one to, I was just stopped. You know, in my mind, I was stopping by to pick it up. And I'm like, I can't leave because if I leave, he's not going to do it.
Right. Yes. Oh my God. And then what happened?
I mean, I eventually got them, but you know, it was one of those things that my mom picked me up and I remember getting in the car with the samples and she said, how are they? And I said, I don't even know at this point. I just needed to have something. Like, you know, you commit to this whole narrative and that you're a designer, you're a handbag designer, you're a handbag brand, but really you're just new, right? And without sales against the samples, these manufacturers will never take you seriously. So whatever you do, you're just kind of like a bug to them, like a pain.
Right.
Like they've got brands who are paying them real money because there's orders against it. And then there's you. It was like, I have an idea for a handbag. And they're like, get the hell out of here.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, in hindsight, I can see it and I get it. But the flip side is that, God, I wish they would have said, we are not set up for this. I will need to charge you that much more, or this is going to take me like 2 more months. I'm putting you at the bottom of my list. These are the windows, as opposed to just take my money and like, oh, we'll get to it. Because I was going there every single day. And you're like, come on. I was the same thing. I was 26. So yeah, same story. So how did you eventually get to getting the right bag and coming up with this brand name and saying, okay, I'm a designer? Like, when did you have that happen?
Oh, so I actually think it happened after, like, in 2015. So after doing all these trials.
Right.
I'm more like that.
Experiment.
Yeah. Where they were not really like that, but, you know. So I went to Italy and I was working there in the production of handbags and footwear. So that helped me a lot to learn.
Wow. So you were able to get a job within the industry while creating your own brand. That was very clever.
Right. So like I see friends that have only the brands and I totally respect that. But at the same time, I feel like it helps so much to work in the industry. And in the industry, in like places like, for example, here in New York, if you have the chance, of course, or like Italy, or like, you know, where you can learn from the experts things that can help you a ton.
Oh my God, that's priceless experience. You can't learn that.
Right.
A video or a book.
There's very few people are going to be lucky enough as like, I don't know, like Marc Jacobs, for example, or like designers that didn't really have to work for someone else and then just learn it in their own company.
Right, right, right.
I mean, if you're lucky, if you're a few of those lucky people, oh, that's great. But at the end also, because I mean, I have also worked in these small brands and you can get to see that they have no idea about these few things, no? Which is fine, yeah. But anyway, but I think like when someone doesn't have as much a support for starting a big brand, it helps a ton to be in working for all the people. So like, for example, this time when I went to Italy, it helped me to understand very well the process of, okay, let's say, for example, I don't know, like Bali was sending the sketch, or like Calvin Klein was sending illustrator sketches. And then Alfrey was sending handbags, hand sketches, like very well detailed and stuff. So you can like get to see how people different type of sketches and what happens after the factory gets the sketches and every little thing that happens.
Right.
Having a great made in Italy handbag, no?
Right.
So then after that, I went back to Mexico and I was like, okay, well, you know, I actually thought I'm just going to get a job. I look for a job at Vogue magazine. And that's what I was thinking. No, I'm not going to work literally as a designer. And then actually the Vogue magazine had a contest that's called Who's So Next. And they were having for the first year the accessories category. So a friend of mine actually told me, I didn't know about this. And a friend told me and I applied and I forgot about it. And then literally I was in South Africa and I got this notification from an Instagram saying, oh yeah, semi-finalists, la la la. I was like, oh shit. Oh, I truly forgot about this. And so I was selected. And then we had to make a bag.
Actually had to make the bag.
Yeah, like make a bag for a shooting that they were gonna put together for all the designs that were selected. And I was in South Africa.
Oh my God.
So I had to like figure out how to make this happen. So that time is when I actually came out with the bag that turned into be the what I have right now, like for many different aspects. No, at that time I was still working with artisans, but more only with palm leaves. I found these people from Taller Maya. That time Taller Maya was just starting. Like Taller Maya, they help as well indigenous people from like the Yucatania. So I was like, okay, so I'm just going to have the palm leaves. But then like through this whole Vogue contest journey, I realized like, oh, because, you know, actually this is not very functional, durable. And, you know, start changing, threading, leather. Then I start looking for same like natural type of leather and stuff. So yeah, that's where I came up with somehow what I have now.
Right.
Because we also have to, you know, have both coming to our showroom and it's like happening. And now it's like again, I was on the other side of the world.
Oh my God.
And I had to like come back here. And it was crazy because at that time I found another woman who was lovely. She actually understood the whole process, the sampling and making, because her brother went to Italy as well.
Right.
By the Mexican government. So they knew they
were inside.
Yeah. So that's literally like,
that was your moment.
That was the moment. Yeah. So
you came up with the name Doispe, which is.
Oh, so Doispe is my name. So my name Doris, D-O, Izquierdo, I-Z, and P-E, which is, you know, like in Latin America, we have two last names. But it was actually my aunt, my mom's sister, the one who put that name in my head.
Right.
When I was like 12 years old
Oh my God.
Yeah, like she was living with us because she was pregnant and we were taking care of her. And I remember she would be in one of the rooms, you know, pregnant, not feeling very well. And I was like playing with fabrics and stuff. And she told me like, oh, you know, maybe when you grow up, you can be a designer. And I had no idea what was a designer. Yep. And maybe you can call your brand Deutschbe, but with an H between the Z and the P.
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Then I found that like in a school project, we needed to design a magazine.
Right.
I call that magazine Deutschbe.
Oh my God. And there it is. Oh yeah. My God. So that's amazing. So at this point, you've had the brand since 2016, 2015, right?
2015. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like fast forward to where you are now, I saw like you're still doing the bag. You're still having them made in Mexico. I know eco-friendly is still core to who you are. I saw your super cool collaboration with the Mexican wine. How are you able, like you are a designer and established brand, how are you able to juggle both? And how are you able to continue to pursue pushing this brand forward?
Well, it's a really big challenge because, you know, it takes a lot of time.
Yes.
I have like an endless list of things I have to do for Deutschbe, for like marketing, website, buyers, PR, design, production, you know, all these things that I have to, or I'm doing it all by myself.
Right.
And so I think the way that it works is just to be very organized. And I'm a Virgo, so I'm very perfectionist.
Ah, so your birthday's coming, yeah?
Right. Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know anything about horoscopes, but now my daughter is in September and horoscopes, you know, astrology is very hot for Gen Z. And so she's like, well, I'm a Virgo. And I'm like, what? You're 15. What does that mean? But okay, sure. I'll buy whatever you're selling. So I know.
Well, like
very organized.
Virgos are very organized and perfectionist.
In a very messy way.
Yeah. Well, I am actually, yeah, like very organized.
Oh, I call hers organized chaos. So it's like everything is in a certain place in this pile.
Is that, yeah.
Oh my God. So is it your goal to one day do Deutschbe full time?
Yeah, that's definitely my goal. Because, yeah, like I always have thought about the whole industry of, okay, you have a great product and you have like, you know, last trend and all these things, but then what else? No?
Yeah.
So if you got to put and create something and put it out there, it should be more meaningful, no? For me, it's not just making new bags and more bags and new colors, but it's like, okay, I'm giving you a bag that is timeless.
Yeah.
That you can wear at any season. It's not necessarily, oh, spring,
Yeah.
Just wear it whenever you want to wear. Because it's also that goes with like sustainability, no? We really need to be more conscious about this and not just keep thinking, oh, this is very summery. Yes, no. Like, we need to be centered on what's happening in the world, no? So you have like something timeless, really good quality, that as well like represents Mexico and genderless as well, right? Like, I mean, I think that we're also in the point of humanity that should be like completely a part of our existence of genderless.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I said, that shows made in Mexico, that is local, like because I keep everything local in the same area in Mexico.
Good.
And yeah, like promotes that and as well made with conscious materials because I only use cactus leather and responsible vegan leather. So you have in that and it's not just, you know, making for just making.
Are you working with the famous Mexican cactus leather company? That one?
Yeah, the Certo, yeah.
Yes. The prickly pear. Them.
Yeah, they're actually the only cactus leather people.
I know. So at this point, are all of your sales direct to customer?
Well, I'm selling here in Manhattan at two stores, at the Canvas, and in Miami, same thing with through Canvas and on my online shop. And sometimes I'm also at different pop-ups with Past Lifestyle, which is as well online shop for sustainable brands.
Right.
And I'm also selling in Europe through Zalando. And yeah, so that's
amazing. Okay. Well, Doris, thank you so much for sharing your journey, your story. I mean, considering I've known you for so long, coming through the Handbag Awards, you have such a specific and special vision, having things made locally, still being true to who you are as a brand. And that speaks to a lot as having that vision and standing by it and understanding who your customer is. So I thought it was important to highlight you and what you've created purely because more people should know about it and more people should be able to get their hands on the incredible bags that you make. So Doris, why don't you share with us where people can find you and follow you?
Oh yeah, well, I'm on Instagram as Doizpe, D-O-I-Z-P-E.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I'm there on Instagram, Facebook same. I'm actually starting TikTok. Well, my TikTok is the same, but TikTok is only in Spanish for Latin American and Mexican designers like me who didn't study in New York or in the States and wanted to be a designer and come to the US and they want to know how that can be.
The how and the why.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm just kind of like giving advice there that I wish I had.
Yeah, that's amazing. Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Doris. Thank you for sharing your story, your journey with Handbag Designer 101. And we will be continuing to watch your growth and success. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Emily.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate and review and follow us on every single platform at Handbag Designer. Thanks so much. See you next time.